Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. How are you doing? Today's podcast is tips for developing mediums, some things that I think will be really useful to help you on your journey as you progress with the spirit world. Now, my first tip is practice makes perfect. I cannot oversell for you the importance of practicing. And I know that there is always that kind of battle to and from about whether you're ready to do it and whether you should be doing it. But the truth of the matter is, you will never develop enough to be able to do it without actually doing it. So there's the rub. You've got to get in it and you've got to do it. So practice, put yourself out there, offer up that vulnerability of self to your friends, your family, if they're open, to people online. There's countless spiritual development groups out there, and put yourself out there and practice and give yourself opportunities to practice. It's so important. When I was working with my mentor and really trying to push my mediumship, she suggested that I practiced, and I am the kind of person that if you tell me to do something, I will go at it full pelt and I will really do it. And so I went out and I practiced, and I practiced hard, and I did reading after reading after reading after reading. And when I worked with her again, she said, wow, lots of stuff's changed. You seem really different in your mediumship. And the reason why? It's because I'd practiced, and I hadn't just done one or two. I had done tens upon tens upon tens of practice sessions with people. And the reason why this is so important is you've got to get used to trusting your abilities. And I think the only way that you really trust that spirit are there and that you can do this is by practicing it and by doing it and people saying, yes, that does make sense. When you first start working and you get a no, no's really pull you out of your power. You go, oh, I knew I was a fraud. You've said, no, I can't do this. And what you need to be able to do is be strong enough that when you hear a no, you're resilient enough to just hold your power and hold that space with the spirit world and bounce back from it without it feeling. I mean, no's used to be physically painful to me, like I've been stabbed in my heart. And now they're not. So that's really, really important, because you will get no's, because sometimes people don't know stuff and don't understand stuff. And sometimes people aren't sure about what you're saying, or they don't have the actual knowledge and they need to go check with somebody. So sometimes you'll get a no because you're wrong. And sometimes you'll get a no when you're right, but they don't know it. So you've got to just get used to that and practice through that and work through that. And that is so important, just to be able to do that. And you have to learn to sit with different energies from the spirit world, different energies within you, and different energies of different sitters. And so that's a really important process to go through, is learning to hold your power when you've got somebody who doesn't look like they're enjoying the reading. Being able to power yourself up when you're feeling tired or you've had a difficult day and get yourself in the zone to work with somebody. When it feels like the spirit is miles and miles away, but obviously they're not, because what spirit would ever do that to you? But you just need to get yourself in a zone to be able to connect, and it's your resistance that you're feeling. And the only way to do that is to practice. I'd love to tell you guys, here's a book to read, it will answer all your questions, but there is something about the doing that is so crucial and cannot be missed and cannot be undervalued. You can read 1,000 books, you can sit in 100 workshops, but what you really need to do is practice. So if you're sitting there waiting for that sign from spirit to say, now's the time, this is it, now is the time, you're never going to develop unless you practice. One of the other things I think is really important, I always tell my students to do, is to watch lots of other mediums work, because I'm a big believer that mediums should be individual and personal to you. It should let your truth in your spirit shine out. And I think it's really important to watch lots of other mediums so that you learn about the sort of medium that you want to be. I like this kind of way of working. I don't like that way of working. And that kind of thing. And it's just so important for your own development to watch other mediums work and be analytical with it. You know, when are they in their power? When do you feel like they're not? When do you feel like they're working mediumistically? When do you feel like they're working psychically? Do you like their way of delivery? Are there ways of improvement? I have learned so much from watching other mediums, good and bad. Oh, I really like that. Oh, that's not for me. I don't think that works. And ideas that you can then go away and when you're practicing, you can experiment with. But I think that developing the kind of medium that you want to be is a process and it takes time. It's really funny to me when you go to watch a medium and you can tell who their teacher is because they use the teacher's phrasings or they move like the teacher or they work like the teacher. And you know that that's fine and good, but you also know they need to practice to find out who they are as a medium, not who they've been formed to be. So that comes with feeling confident in your connection. At the beginning, when you're really hoping that someone's going to show up and you're really worried about it and you're really in your head, then you need that process. You need that procedure that your teachers will teach you. But then when you start to develop and move past that and get confident with it and know that actually you can do this and you're not kidding yourself, then's when the magic happens and the medium that you are steps forward and lets us all see them. And that's just a wonderful thing. And that's taken me a while to get to, in honesty. I'd say I've only got into that space very recently. And it's just about giving yourself permission to do it the way that you want to do it rather than the way that everybody else does it is such a massive, massive thing. And I think you have to get confident in doing it the way that everybody else does it first so you can start being unique. And the way that you get confident, you've guessed it, it's practice. I think consistency is important, but not because I believe that the spirit world will ever judge you or hold back on you because you haven't turned up for 2 weeks or you haven't turned up for 6 months. I don't think they will ever just say, right, that's it. You're on the naughty step. You're on the bench. We're not going to work with you. But I think for your own mental belief in yourself, you have to kind of push yourself to keep going. It becomes a bigger and bigger barrier. When I did that demonstration in Maidstone, threw all my toys out the pram, it was really good for me that a week later I had another demonstration booked, so I had to get back on the horse. I couldn't just sulk about it. And that's the same with your own development. If you're only doing one practice reading a week that's 15 minutes, that's not enough if you really truly want to develop. I'm going to throw this out there. My target that I set myself when my teacher said I needed to practice was 100 readings. 100. So that's really what you should be aiming for, in my opinion. Obviously, there's ebb and flow. I'm not going to cut you off if you only do 80, but it's just about understanding the volume that you need to do. And I would say 2 or 3 a week to really get yourself cooking, to get yourself in that energy. And the other tip I want to give you here is make sure you've always got another one lined up. So don't just book one in and then say, once that's done, I'll book another one in. Because if that first one is rubbish, you need the second one to be already booked in so you can't pull out of it, rather than, oh God, that was terrible, I don't know if I can do this. And rage quitting, as my son would call it on a computer game. You just need to allow yourself to process that and then bounce back. So really, really important, I think, to always have a stream of people booked in so it doesn't become a big mountain that you have to climb just to push through it to get someone booked in. It's amazing the resistance that we all have. Equally, downtime is important. Time away from it is important. It's good to go on holiday. It's good to have a break. I'm taking the whole of August off. I'm not doing any spirit work in August at all. Just to reconnect with my life, my family, with the physical, earthbound Hannah, not just the floating around in the ether, Hannah, and that's really, really important too. But I will say this as honestly and bluntly as I can. If you don't practice, you will not improve. Don't expect spirit to do it for you. If you don't try, you won't get any better. You don't lie horizontally on your sofa binge watching Netflix and expect to somehow run a marathon or play a concert piano. You know what I mean. You would practice, and it's the same for mediumship. There is no shortcut. It's only about practice, practice, practice. It's a really good tip to record yourself doing readings for yourself and record your readings of you reading for clients when you feel confident. But if you're not ready to work with anybody else yet and you're still fighting it, one of the ways that you can improve is getting used to seeing your own face and hearing your own voice and looking at your own delivery. So cards are a great way to do this. Pull yourself a daily card and record yourself reading the card for yourself. And that in itself is a massive journey. I've had to get so used to hearing my own voice doing this podcast. And you know, when you're doing Zooms, if you're too busy looking at yourself or disgusted and appalled by yourself, then that's going to pull you out of your power. So you have to get used to just hearing yourself and seeing yourself. But then you also have to get used to speaking, opening up to that power, staying in that power. So a really good tip for those of you that are right at the beginning is to record yourself, but also set a timer. So to begin with, you pull yourself one card and you read it aloud to yourself for 30 seconds. And then when you've got through all of that processing, then you build it up to a minute. Then you build it up for 2 minutes. Then you build it up for 3 minutes. And then you try and build a card, read a card, and just that one card for 4 to 5 minutes. And that's all about learning to hold that connection and learning to go through the resistance of this message is done. There can't be anything more that I want to say. I had this with students in one of my groups recently. They said, well, I already read for that person. I've already had their dad through. And I said, yeah, you've done one 10-minute reading. Do you think you've summed up everything there is to know about that gentleman in that 10 minutes? No. So be open. The only resistance is you. The only limit is you. So doing that kind of thing really helps. Have a look at how you speak, the words that you use. I mean, when I listen back to this podcast, I hear myself saying sentences again and again, phrases again and again. And I think, oh, bugger it. I wish I wouldn't do that. But equally, I know I do it less now because I'm aware of it. And that only comes from listening and paying attention to what you're saying. So language is really, really important. And the way you speak about your mediumship is really, really important. And it's good to have a really extended vocabulary if you're going to work with the spirit world, because sometimes one phrase can get you a no, but if you say the same thing but using different words, it will get you a yes. I have an example of this when I was doing a demonstration for my supporters group when I had supporters, and I did a spirit link for somebody, and I said, your grandfather is mischievous. And he said, no, not at all, no. And I went back to the spirit and said, have I got you wrong here? And he showed me playing tricks on him. And I said, oh, but he played tricks on you, didn't he? He liked to wind you up. He said, oh, yes, yes, he liked to do that. So it was just the word mischievous and their connotation of the word mischievous that stopped them accepting that evidence. So practice saying things the same way, the same things, but different ways. So there you go. Perfect example, QED. But, you know, when you're reading for yourself, read the same card different ways using different language. If you're feel like you're just giving the same message on repeat to yourself when you're recording it, that's fine, but just work on using different words to do it, because that might be where your expansion needs to be. Also, don't think that meditation is necessarily the key. I think that clearing your energy is more important than meditation. And meditation will work for some people, and other people it will be journaling. I know I've talked about this before, but it's so important. And for other people it will be walks in the wood. And for other people it will be running. So find what works for you, what makes you feel good, and follow that. Because the more you are in a clear, happy space with your own energy, the better it will be for you. If you're nervous and your nerves are holding you back, especially in platform mediumship, but also in one-to-ones, I strongly suggest that you work on your nerves before you bring mediumship into the mix. So I'm quite a confident person with talking to people. I've done drama A-level. I'm used to being on a stage and presenting. And that is a massive help for me in my mediumship, because mediumship is nerve-wracking enough without having to deal with nerves. So if you want to be a platform medium, and you should because it's awesome, then you may need to accept that you need to work on your public speaking first. And there's so many elements to platform mediumship, but it really struck me when I was on a course quite recently, and there was a lady there who's been working and developing with various teachers for 25 years, and she still can't get on the stage without going, "Oh, I'm so nervous. Oh my God. Oh, this is so terrible." Oh, and wittering. And I actually feel very strongly about this. And I know sometimes I'm a bit hard, but I get nervous too. But it's so important to hold yourself to account. And I'm not saying that the nerves shouldn't happen, but what I am saying is you shouldn't be in a space where you're stood on a stage talking about how nervous you are. That's not professional. And actually, I do feel that the teachers should be educating them in that. And they should be saying to them, you need to work through your nerves. You need to get that in the bag first before you try and bring mediumship into it. Because even for me, as somebody who's used to performing, who loves to hog the karaoke mic, who likes to be seen, mediumship was an ultimate vulnerability, and it made me really nervous and really anxious and really afraid to go out there and do it. So if you can't meet somebody's eyes when you're having a conversation with them because you feel too uncomfortable, you need to work on that before your one-to-ones. If you can't stand up in front of a room full of people and deliver a poem or a talk with inflection, because that's really important, with emotion, with feeling, you need to work on that before you follow mediumship. Mediumship can't fix that for you. You need to fix that, and then the spirit world will be able to work with you, not the other way around. Does that make sense? I hope so. Because it's so important. It's important when you're doing mediumship to be engaging, to be feel like you're bringing the audience or your sitter along with you for the ride. And if you're up in your head, you make it all about you. If you're thinking how afraid you are, you're not being a medium, because you're all about you. And the rule of mediumship is, as always, it's not about you. It's about the spirit world. So there's lots of things that people need to work on, skills that people need to work on, to be able to do this work. And I do still think that that really does change mediumship to being from being mediocre to being amazing. Some of the most revered mediums that you see out there, their evidence is not that mind-blowing. It's them. It's the fact that they're comfortable, that they have a stage presence, that they take you on a journey. They're the ones that are just mind-blowingly amazing. And it's, for me, as you know, always about the feeling. And if all you're feeling is nervous and petrified, then that's all your sitter is going to feel. Whereas if you can get yourself into a place where you are pushed to one side and you are sharing that love and that presence and that feeling of spirit, that is when your readings will be really, really good. So practice on yourself. Practice your delivery style, practice your holding your power for longer, practice working on your fear if you need to, practice standing on a stage, practice speaking at the appropriate volume, practice just bloody doing readings. And don't forget, you can always call on the spirit world to help you practice. It's such a good exercise to do, to either call back the spirit that you worked with earlier when you're back to being powered up again, and ask them if they've got any suggestions for improvement. I've done that quite a few times, but also call in practice spirits. These won't be people you know. These will just be people in the spirit world that can help you to practice receiving and experiencing different things. I'd like to work with a great aunt today, so I can feel the energy of a great aunt, so it's easier for me to recognize it, so my valves are more open to it. I want to practice somebody who died of bowel cancer today, so I can experience that feeling within my body, and then I know what bowel cancer feels like and my valves are open to it. You can do that in so many different ways, because you're always just trying to get those valves as open as possible, to get those links as clear and flowing as possible. And flowing's a good thing as well, for me to remind you all. I've got a real thing at the moment that my students are being hit with, which is bullet points. Dink, 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 dink. When you start a reading, make sure you bullet point it, get it really going. Spirit keeps showing it to me like a steam train. You've got to chuck loads of coal in the engine to get it going, and then once it starts building and that momentum's going, then it will be an easier reading. So don't go too much into the detail early on in a reading. Try and build that energy and that power first. So rather than, I've got a grandfather here, and I know he's your grandfather, and I know that he was around from your childhood, and I know that he had bowel cancer, and it was slow and painful. Say, I've got granddad here, and I know that he's a fun-loving man. He's got a real cheeky personality, and he shows me a little twinkle in his eyes. I know that granddad passed his in around his late 70s with bowel cancer, but I know that he doesn't want to be remembered as the person that he was. And then chuck out the evidence before you can even think about it. Bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point. And then once you've got some yeses and that energy is built, then you can go back to things and explore them more. Then you can go back to his cheeky personality and how that will remind your sitter of them. You can go back to the bowel cancer and talk about how long he had it for and the impact of that on his life and the family. But at the beginning, if you try and bullet point it really quickly with no pausing, just don't allow yourself to stop, it will build that energy, and then your reading will be bigger and stronger and brighter for it. So I hope this helps. I've just had a real thing recently. I've been talking to my students about it, about pushing through, getting the energy going and moving fast and rapidly, so that the rest of the reading is built up and good, but also the importance of practice. Don't expect spirit to bring you people who you're just going to bump into someone in Tesco who says, are you a medium? Because I feel like offering a practice space for a developing medium. You know that's not how it's going to work. Let you be the guide. You step up for the spirit world and they will bring you more than you ever dreamed of. So I hope this helps. Short and sweet today. And I will catch up with you all again soon. As always, if you've got any questions about anything I've said in this or any other podcast, or indeed anything I haven't covered yet, please do email me at podcast@hannahmedium.co.uk. Have a great day.